This meeting, we better do a roll call first.
Randy Ziegler.
Gary.
Tony.
Mark.
And Jill is absent.
Haven't seen her yet, and we'll see if she pops up.
Okay. All right. The meeting is being recorded and audio will be posted on the city website. Anyone wishing to speak, please raise your hand until recognized by the mayor, and then state your name and residence. So we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the consent agenda. I have a few things that I want to add to it, and if anybody else has anything, we'll add to it. Two parks I want to add, the Northern Lakes Electric bid and the Timber Ridge Electric bid into the parks part of it. Nardini, that is, will go to the bar. And I want to have some discussion on a couple of things, and I think I'm going to stick it under roads because I want some of Chad's input, most especially on the Keeble Lake road maintenance and the brush dump. Keeble Lake road maintenance, you'll know when we get there. I just want your opinion. Anybody have anything else they want to add to the agenda? Anybody have everything?
Just when we get to the budget, I want to talk about the association.
Yeah, I think that'll just be the final. I don't think we have to do that.
That's the budget.
Okay, so then I need a motion to accept the agenda with the added items.
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda with adding electric bids under parks and Keeble Lake road maintenance under roads.
The brush dump and Keeble Lake maintenance under roads and Nardini under the park.
Under the brush dump.
Okay. I'll say it.
Vote?
Aye.
Aye. We have new business and critical issues.
You need to go back up to the top a little more. Open forum is next.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Skipped all that.
That's okay.
Does anybody have anything they wish to speak about?
Good. Just your watch, or that's fine.
Northern Eagle Lake Road maintenance, right? Or which Eagle Lake Road maintenance are you talking about?
No. Keeble.
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 Oh, Keeble. That's good. Okay.
Alright.
Okay, so no open forum, no one to speak. Go on to the new business and critical issues.
No, we still have the consent agenda. You did consider agenda. Pledge allegiance said it was consider agenda.
I think I did.
And then open forum, you just said the wrong word. So now it's the consent agenda.
I thought I did actually make the
consent
agenda, and that's all old news.
No, but we do have under consent agenda to review the four CEs that are coming up. Which is page 9 and 10.
If we had offers being 2%, that's pretty low.
So if you look at page 10, we did reach out to 5 local banks for CD renewal rates. The CDs right now are at First National Bank, and they are offering a 9 month at 5%. No, yeah. First Western, I'm sorry. First Western.
Offer 5%?
Is at 5.16. I'm sorry.
6 months.
Yes.
That Franson's got a 5.28 for 5 months. I know we just pulled everything out of there, didn't we?
The regular account went to primary receipt. But there's only a 0.12 difference between the 5 month and 6 month, and how much work is it to change the CD? For just that little bit, it's only 1 month. Is it a lot of work to change?
It's nice if we just roll them over, but that's up to you guys. With that though, the grader is coming this year, correct? So we need to have $340,000 for that?
Yeah.
Of which then I would recommend maybe cashing in the CD 7507 and 5637. And with that, that'd be about $257,000, and then use the balance out of his checking account to pay for the grader.
When do they think we're going to, and they've kicked this down the road a few times on that grader. Have you talked to them recently? Or?
November is going to look forward.
November, we're in September, October, yeah, we should probably just cash those two out. Okay.
That'll still leave money in his checking account in case something comes up. But
will that leave him enough money in his checking account?
Yeah, because there's more money coming in.
All right.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we ain't cutting him short, you know.
Yeah, no, I sat and reviewed it with Tony today, and he's sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
If nothing breaks down.
So I will, do we willing to do a motion for that, will we not?
We, yes.
Yes.
What I would need is, I think what I'd prefer is a motion to cash in those two CDs.
Yes.
And then there's, I think keep that motion. And then there's a CD in the general that you need to decide where to go.
That can just stay in the general. We're not needing anything.
Yeah. No.
And we roll it over is the simplest.
So if we roll over those other two CDs, that's what I would.
So I make a motion that we cash out CD 7507 and 5637 and put it into Chet's checking account so the grader's due in 60 days. We can pay that off. But is there a shortage? Maybe another shortage? God, that's as short as they will. That's too long. Going to Chad's, to be cashed out. Chad's checking.
Any discussion?
Did you get a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
And I'll make turn around and make a second motion that we roll over CD 5635 and 5636. We roll over our first question back.
Second.
Do we want to run that in the 6 month one then? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I was going to say, we want to say that they did the
5.1%. That's at the 6 month of 5.16%.
Give me a second, I'll vote.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Okay, then if you just want to approve the consent agenda, that'd be great.
I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Vote, please. Aye.
Aye.
New business and critical issues. We have a public hearing on ordinance 03-2023 regarding regulation of the use of cannabis and cannabis-derived products in public places.
I can take that, Mayor, if you'll allow me to. Thank you. It's been a while since we've held a public hearing at a city council meeting, so I'd first look for a motion to open the public hearing, and then I'll review the ordinance, take questions from council, take public comment, motion to close the public hearing, and then the next agenda item is for your consideration of the ordinance. So first would be a motion to open the public hearing.
Can I make motions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll make a motion that we open the public hearing to discuss the ordinance 03-2023.
Okay.
All second.
No.
Aye.
Okay, so the public hearing is open. We published in the newspaper a notice regarding this public hearing here tonight, and it's for consideration of ordinance number 03-2023. Crow Wing County has adopted almost the exact ordinance as this proposed ordinance, which prohibits the use of cannabis in public places. And ingested all the work on this. So I have two disclaimers. One, I'm not an attorney, so I'll try to answer any legal questions, but take that for what it's worth. And two, this is not a zoning ordinance. This is a separate sort of standalone city ordinance, which will be enforced by the Crow Wing County Sheriff's Department. So with those two things, I'll quickly review the ordinance, and if you have questions, I'll try to answer. So the first section, 1.1, gives a statement of purpose and intent. 1.2 gives the statutory authority, and the statute provides for local governments, cities, to create these sorts of ordinances. Section 2 has definitions. I won't go through all of them, but just some of them. Cannabis flower, cannabis product, hemp-derived consumer products, lower potency hemp edibles. All these things are defined. The city attorney did make a suggestion regarding the definition of public place. That's letter G. It's on page 50 of the ordinance, or page 3 of the ordinance, page 50 of the packet. And so we added, I'll just read it. It states that public place is defined as all public property, a public park or trail, public street or sidewalk, any enclosed indoor area used by the general public, including but not limited to theaters, restaurants, bars, food establishments, places licensed to sell intoxicating liquor, wine or malt beverages, retail businesses, gyms, common areas and buildings, public shopping areas, auditoriums, arenas, or other places of public accommodation. So we did add right at the beginning, so it states a public place means all public property. We added those four words, means all public property, with the thought that we also wanted this to apply to, you know, like the park. But that differs from Crow Wing County's ordinance. So the city attorney is suggesting that we strike those four words so that we're consistent with the county's, with the understanding that, at least it's our interpretation, that this still would apply to the public park. That's still considered a public place. So with that, we can discuss that under the second, when you consider the ordinance, but just keep that in mind. Section 3 is a jurisdiction. The ordinance applies just to, you know, all areas within the city of 50 Lakes. And then really, sort of the meat of the ordinance is in section 4, and I'll read through this. It's prohibited at subdivision 1. No person shall use cannabis flower, cannabis products, lower potency hemp edibles, or hemp-derived consumer products in a public place or place of public accommodation, unless the premises is an establishment or an event licensed to permit on-site consumption of adult-use cannabis flower and adult-use cannabis products. See State Legislation Article 4, Section 19, Minnesota Statute 152.0263, Subdivision 5, or successor statute. And then Subdivision 2 of that section states that no person shall vaporize or smoke cannabis flower, cannabis products, artificially derived cannabinoids or hemp-derived consumer products in any location where the smoke, aerosol, or vapor would be inhaled by a minor. See State Legislation Article 1, Section 9, Minnesota Statute 342.09, Subdivision 1B9, or successor statute. So basically, can't use cannabis or cannabis-derived products in public places. And then Section 5 is a penalty. A violation of this ordinance shall be a petty misdemeanor, having a fine payable of up to $300. Nothing in this ordinance prohibits the city from seeking prosecution for an alleged violation. And then some legal language in Section 6. And I see we have another Section 6. That should be Section 7. I don't know if the county caught that or not, but there's two Section 6s listed, but it should be 6 and 7. So with that, it's a fairly brief ordinance, but if you have any questions, I can try to answer.
Well, what about the drinks that are coming out with the THC and stuff? They're out there. I know we don't carry them in our city.
Yeah.
But they're out there.
Again, not an attorney, but I would... That's a THC type product. I would assume this ordinance would apply for that.
Would that kind of consumption fall under the heading of edibles, possibly? I don't know.
Potentially.
Which are described there.
You're drinking it, you're eating it, ingesting
it. Yeah. I don't know. You could really rip apart.
And it's a really good question, Mayor. There's going to be a lot of questions that come up with this, I think specifically regarding enforcement. I know all cities are having a similar conversation, and a lot are adopting ordinances like this, just as a starting point, with the understanding that it will probably change over time as things come up. But we're also going to have to look at some point, kind of getting off track here, but with the zoning ordinance specifically with the use, so we'll have to look at retail sales, manufacture of cannabis, do you want to allow those things in your city? Licensing, if you get a cannabis business in the city, are you going to require a license? All that is going to be coming after the Office of Cannabis Management is set up at the state level, and then the cities will set up kind of the framework after that's established. And that should be coming January 2025 is what So this is kind of step one, prohibiting the use in public places.
It does say on here too, the F on page 49, it says lower potency hemp edibles, mm-hmm. and it says consumed as beverages. So
but that's just in a public place.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. None of this applies to, you know, privately owned residences or privately owned properties. All just public use.
So even if a Lola Pro Bar man decided that she wanted to order some of the other, you know, THC products, with this she could not.
That's my understanding.
You have to change that. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't.
No, that's not.
Okay. Because it's just not using the product in public.
That's
probably,
a good point.
Right?
There's other things with liquor law and what you can sell in a liquor store, and I'm not even sure if you can buy the hemp-derived THC, is that what it's called?
They have it in their mind.
Like, I've seen it in grocery stores, but I don't know if you can sell it in liquor stores. This is, again, kind of outside of zoning, but they have it at a liquor store?
Yeah.
At the grocery store. Talk to other people.
Okay.
I would agree. Yeah, they always just got it too.
Over the bar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have people asking for it over the bar too over there.
Yeah. I think this deals with just consumption on public property. So you could check with the city attorney on that. I don't think it can be used.
Well, and that might be the difference between a municipal and a privately owned bar too. Mm-hmm. That's,
Right. The municipals have chosen at this time not to participate in that market, and they're all sticking together. Which you can buy other places.
Yeah.
Just, you know, if we didn't adopt this as is, and then it comes out, we'd have to change it. You know, if it comes out later on and decide that, yes, we're going to get involved in those, in that type of sale.
The consumption of it. So from this, it looks like you could sell it, but you could not consume it on public property.
Which is just like off sale.
Right, but everybody that buys off sale, if they request something, it usually appears in on sale. You know what I mean? I don't think we have any products other than tobacco, but if there's a, you know, beer, wine, or anything, it can go to the bar. But if we did get that THC or products in there,
it couldn't go to the bar.
Then it couldn't go.
So with that, is there any other questions for me? It's going to come back under the next agenda item, but if you have any questions for me, otherwise we could take public comment.
Any public comment? Craig, Jesse, Chad?
So if none, then a motion to close the public hearing, and then we'll discuss it under the next agenda.
Make a motion to close the public meeting.
All second.
Public hearing. We're not closing the meeting. Sorry.
Okay, we take a vote. Aye.
Aye.
And so consideration of ordinance 03-2023 regarding regulation of the use of cannabis and cannabis-derived products in public places.
Yeah, so if you wish to adopt a motion to adopt, we would suggest that you modify the one definition, letter G, of public place for the city attorney's recommendation, so that it's consistent with growing counties, just striking the four words means all public property. I think that was the only change from the city attorney.
Well, I guess I'll make a motion to accept ordinance 03-2023 with the striking the four words means all public property, I believe.
One second. Any more discussion?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks for doing that, Justin.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Anne and Jess, for doing all the work.
Thank you, Jeff.
Great, I lost my agenda. Dylan Rapp from Tremolo Communications is going to talk to us about a surveillance system.
Yeah, it's really just about getting, we were approached about getting some surveillance over at the fire department and the park. Once all that is complete over there, electricity and all that. And this was the quote that we supplied, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have or any concerns or anything like that.
Now, the cameras that we're currently using, are they going to be sufficient? We got those through you anyway, I believe.
Yeah, those are just basically, you purchase the cameras through us. They detect motion. They don't 24/7 record or anything like that. So those are kind of a minuscule. You want to catch somebody coming through a door, they give you the 14-second clip. There's no monthly cost, none of that. But I know recently there's been a few things where the 14-second clip hasn't been long enough. So, and there's really, those cameras, basically, they have a 5-minute timeout period. So if there's motion detected, it takes a 14-second clip, and then it won't record again for another 5 minutes. So they're very low-budget cameras, you know, mainly for kind of watching pets maybe at home, something like that. So security cameras, I wouldn't really consider them security cameras. So.
So you guys have a total, with the last one I gave you, of 4 estimates from Tremolo.
I see that. Okay, this one, both of these say fire hall camera estimate. One is with one camera and one is with 5?
Yes. The one with 5 is basically the updated version of the one with just the single camera. They're originally going to put one just on the outside of the fire hall door on the east side here.
Perfect.
And then this new one is for replacing all the cameras currently over there.
So eliminate the $1,146.75 out, right, Dylan?
Yes.
So then it's 2-fold for the cameras. You've got 1 that's 2 for the park pavilion and 5 for the fire hall maintenance.
I have a couple questions, comments, maybe. Is the 14 seconds, and is that enough for us? I really don't know. I mean, with the troubles we've had, is that enough of a clip for
that's
us?
Why, you know, I don't think
the current ones are 14 seconds.
Yes.
These new ones are basically 24/7.
Oh, so I thought the new ones were 14.
No, the new ones, you'll be able to, if I wanted to look back at 8:10 last night, you'd be able to pull that up.
Oh, no, all right. The new ones.
So these are significantly upgraded from the
current. Would it highlight motion?
What's that?
Would it highlight motion? Like you got a 24-hour period. Would it highlight when Chad gets here 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. So what you can do with this system is you can tell it, hey, I want to see wherever motion was detected between the hours of, you know, 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. And it'll give you every single clip where motion was detected. So you can kind of go through those clips, or if it, for some reason, didn't catch the motion, if it's too far away, something like that, you can always, of course, have the you know, hours of footage that you could just kind of scroll through yourself.
You don't have to look for 5 hours.
You wouldn't have to, no, because if something or someone's walking through a door, there's going to be a point where that motion kicks off, and you'll be able to scroll through all the motion.
Show up and you're scrolling through.
Right, just when there's motion being detected. So, and some of them's about placement and everything too. I mean, if it's near a flag, a tree blowing around, you're going to get a lot of clips of motion. So it's kind of important how you mount the cameras and everything too, which would be guided through our installation process as well. So.
Is there anything on it? On the south side, you're going to pick up everything that comes in and look at Copeland Pickleball these days.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So you look at all of that. And
not necessarily, but I'm...
So I mean, indoors would be better. You just see people that enter the building, not necessarily do something with the outside.
Right, but you can set it up that way, yes?
Yeah.
So that it's not so touchy for the ones outside, because we're not people coming and going.
Exactly, yeah. So we would just want to position the cameras so that it's not seeing branches in front of it or anything like that. Try to get it. You know, sometimes depending on where you need them, it's tough to do that. You know, if you're trying to capture a wooded area, I mean, a windy day, there's not much you can do about the motion stuff. But, you know, it does a pretty good job of identifying what's legitimate motion and what isn't. So.
And it's not going to alert us, right? Every time there's a motion. It's just that we want to look and narrow down when the motion happens.
Yep.
That's
you can pull up and see, yes. And it goes by camera, too.
Yeah, all our cameras are outdoor, but we don't get location.
Right. You know. And you can choose by camera, so it's not going to give you motion for every single camera you've got in place. You can say, I want to look at camera 5 on the southeast corner of the building or something, and it'll show you just that camera. So it's a little bit easier to, you know, get through that footage without having to watch hours of footage.
Sure.
So.
The thing is really part of what we want to protect. How about for long distances? Think of long ways away. If it was mounted like in the eave above the maintenance in the rear, mm-hmm. on each side, we had two cameras there. How far would it pick up pickleball players over there in the court?
So I believe the cameras say up to 100 feet. So depending on where it's mounted. Now, of course, you'll be able to see a lot further than that. That's just strictly the motion detection.
What kind of clarity does it have when you do zoom? I'm assuming it has a zoom in.
Yeah, these are all 4K cameras, so kind of an industry standard. Well, it's the highest industry standard, I should say. So these are the same cameras we use. We've installed them at many other places, and you can zoom in. And for example, we just put the same system in at Lake Country Foods. And they've got them mounted in Emily. They've got them mounted on the front of the store. And you can zoom in easily and see license plates and stuff like that. So, I mean, you can get pretty good. Of course, in the darkness, it's a little bit, it does have night vision, but a little bit more difficult to see that stuff. But you can still certainly do it.
And the whole reason this came about was because we wanted a camera on the maintenance shop facing east. And one was picked up and put up there, a wide camera, but that doesn't record.
It only records 14 seconds.
Right, yeah, we need something more than that.
Right.
So with that, then it was discussion, okay, we've got all these wide cameras in the fire hall, should they all be replaced then, so they're all recorded?
Oh, absolutely. I don't see any reason why we'd have the other ones there if we're going to go with this one.
Because I mentioned this too when talking with Ann, that, you know, even if you're just putting the one up as we originally were talking, you're kind of buying the whole meat and potatoes of the whole system anyway.
Yeah, good point.
So adding in, you know, a couple extra cameras is, you know, the $170 per camera is kind of minimal when you're talking that you're buying the whole piece of it anyway.
Right, because we're still getting the recording video package.
Right, yes. No matter how many cameras you have. Yeah.
And can we add more cameras to this if we decide later on?
Yes. So this, right now, I believe we've got it set up for 16 channels, meaning you can have 16 cameras plugged into this. So, and one thing I was going to suggest too, I know it's a 16 channel in the bar here as well. So if you, I know that one's getting a little bit older. This quote doesn't include that either, but you could put a 32 channel recording system in the bar here in Diana's office, and all the cameras over there, they could all talk to each other. The only reason why we quoted a whole new system for over there is just because you're full of cameras on this side. So you could replace the one in there and do everything, because these cameras will talk to each other through the internet. So that's another option too.
Okay, so talking about that, so we have the fire hall and then we have the pavilion.
Yes, yep.
Do we need two separate recording video packages for each of
you
them?
You do not, no. The report, if you do both of those, you would only need the one on, which one is it here? Yeah, you would need the one on, yeah, the five camera quote would take care of the recording package for the pavilion. So okay. If you went with both of those, you'd basically you'd eliminate the 568-67 from the other quote.
Would we have to get a router out on the pavilion then also?
You would, yes. So that comes into play with the other one with the total of, the quote.
The only thing I have to say about that is, that one, we don't really need the internet there year round.
And couldn't we cover it from having two cameras and the eve of the east?
Well, the pavilion really kind of blocks the pickleball and the park, I believe, or at least the pickleball and the pavilion too. And I think that's another point we should kind of keep an eye on. I guess I was kind of halfway thinking if we put one on that siren pole, that'd kind of, and then at the maintenance shop.
Do they have one that will do
like a 360 turning type thing?
180.
Yeah, and these cameras, wherever they're mounted, you can see, I don't think it's truly 180, but it's like 177 or something. I mean, where you mount them on the wall, you can see it's a very wide angle lens.
And I guess so. The reason I'm asking that is because, if we were to, I know you're waiving the $350, but if we only ran that camera, didn't need it for 5 months, that's, I don't know what, is the router $80 a month?
That's your monthly cost. However, you can seasonally disconnect the service.
Oh, you can.
So if you don't want it for, I believe you can only seasonally disconnect for up to 6 months, but that should cover, I would imagine, winter time.
Oh, yeah.
So you wouldn't have to worry about that monthly payment through the winter when you're seasonally disconnect the service.
That's what I was kind of wondering about, because we make it up, if you didn't offer us that discount,
we'd
make it up on the first year, we just pay for our trenching. But with that being said.
Right.
Is it the same as like a household?
the router?
For disconnect. It's $25 to disconnect and $25 to hook back up.
I believe so, yes. I'm more on the technical side of everything. I don't deal with the billing too much, but I believe that's how it works. Yes.
Yeah. And then you wonder whether it's worth turning it off.
Pardon?
Then you wonder if it's worth turning it off.
Well, it's $80 a month if we shut it off for December, January, February, March, April. That's 4 or 5 months. Even at 4 months at $80, that's $320, it's $50. $25 to turn it off, $25 to turn it on. So you said put it back.
Yeah, the way I kind of looked at it is I didn't think we'd really need it through December till May, which is about, say 5 months, and that's $400.
But you just turn off one camera, what about the rest of the building?
That would shut off the router in the
That would shut off the pavilion internet. So basically, any cameras that were on the pavilion or for the park would also be shut off because they would need that internet service.
Right, but we would still have it on the maintenance shed.
Yes, yes.
Really, the completely separate service is the only one that's, you know, on that router.
Right, and that's why we quoted them separately, because you just have the two over there and the internet service for those two and for Wi-Fi for whoever's at the pavilion.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Chad?
Just food for thought, you do have snow emails that do a lot of damage. So if they're all jumping through that park, we can jump over that fence, get caught in that, go through the fence. You know, snow emails do cause damage.
Well, and that's where with that camera.
But it'd be shut off in the winter.
Well, I'm just talking, do we need to have it? You're bringing up a point that we may need to have it. I mean, the way
you got your snowmobiles in the winter, then you have your side-by-sides in the early spring, and you even have side-by-sides in the winter because they have tracks.
Well, what I saw over there last spring, I mean, boy, you'd have to be half mountain goat to get in there. It's so plowed up. I didn't see any snowmobile tracks that I recall.
Yeah, they come from the back.
Okay. Well, and with that being said, if we didn't, we don't have to shut it off.
Right, we can make that decision.
I was just on, my thoughts were that there really isn't anything going to be happening over there when there's 12-foot-high snow banks around it. But no, that's fine. We've got the ability to have.
So, where would you pull it out of the pavilion, and couldn't you cover it as much as you want to cover just by having one on the east side of the building in the prow? Covering the whole backyard there. And if you said they'll cover 180 degrees or something.
Right, but you're covering everything except what's going on in the pavilion, possibly.
Well, they'd have one side that they didn't, and that's why I want to put that thing on the other side to begin with, because that way you can see the doors.
Right.
Do you have any more questions, maybe, for Doug?
No, I'm good with
that. I think it's a matter of placement. A little bit, you know, we can discuss that.
And Dylan can help us with that, too.
Yeah.
And I know the quote doesn't include the trenching to the pole, so if you did want to trench that, I think it's $10 a foot for that. If we do the trenching, of course, you know, you guys can trench
that, too. Was that the deal that was going to be waived?
That's for the service coming in. So that's them getting the service to the pavilion.
Right.
So then if we wanted to put a camera up on the pole, say, we'd have to trench another line to that pole to put the camera up there. So this is currently quoted for having two cameras mounted on the pavilion itself in two facing two different directions.
All right.
So just FYI.
Okay.
But.
And what you're looking at without that trenching is about $3,051 for five cameras. Seven cameras. And the recording video package and the installation and wiring.
Do you need seven cameras? Is that what you're estimating?
That's just kind of what I was told to quote.
Yeah,
so, you guys don't have to go with that many either. So, I mean, if you walk around, you decide to put one here, put one there, put one there. If it comes out to be less, great. If it comes out to be more, we can do that too. Up to 16 as of right now with the way that it's kind of late designed, I guess.
And two were for the pavilion. The five that were quoted for the fire hall, those are, there's five of them there now that you're
replacing? I do believe that's what we counted. It was four or five. You know off the top of your head?
Five.
With that, then, you might want to consider, then, is it time maybe to discuss this further at a later date about a 32 camera video recording package for back then.
And you wouldn't have to replace any cameras in here. So just FYI, if you do that, those cameras are all still good. It's just that system. I know Diana's been having a few issues here and there, far and few between, but if you go this route, it wouldn't cost that. I would say the recording package would probably close to double. So another $500 to replace that whole unit. But then everything's on the same account. You're not logging two separate accounts. That's another thing to keep in mind too. So whoever has access to the cameras there, if it's all one system, they're gonna have access to all the cameras. So they're gonna have access to the bar cameras, they're gonna have access to everything. If you do want to keep them segregated, you only want certain people to see these ones, only certain people to see those ones, you're going to want to keep them as two separate systems.
And if we go to two separate systems, it's 526.
It's the, yeah, it's what's quoted. That's what's quoted currently. It's the two separate. We're not touching this one in here.
I think so, too. I think we should have.
You can have that be here or in Chad.
Sure.
Could it be viewed at maintenance department and in the office here, or would it always have to be?
No, you can. So if they're two separate systems, if there is anyone you want to be able to view both of those, you can add both systems to an app for that. So you'd be able to see them both, and you can view them from wherever.
Can you, is that set up where you, some person can view it from their phone?
Yep. The system in here currently, that's a FLIR system, and they don't, FLIRs aren't really around anymore. So I can't comment on the application for that system, but the new one certainly, yep.
We can make a decision tonight. This is just
information. That's up to you guys.
I think we should go with it if it is something that we need. It should have probably been done a long time ago. And then we would have alleviated some past problems.
$3,051.
What is it?
$3,051. I took the recording video package off of the park cameras, the 568-67. But I do notice that it's 568-67 for that recording video package, but 526-76 for the other.
Right, and I'm not sure
which one it'd
be. I know one of these was quoted a few weeks apart.
Yep.
So I'm guessing there was probably a price drop in our.
Oh, it must have been, because this was just today.
Yes. So okay. I'm guessing wherever we were getting the quote or the pricing from, it probably dropped a little bit.
Okay, so then it's probably another $40 cheaper.
Right.
So right around.
Yeah, because that price is from today. So.
Yeah.
And then it'll be $130 a month for
it would be.
Well, that's installation. That includes installation. That's a one-time fee.
Yep. For the park, it would be an additional $80 a month. For everything in the fire department, there is no more monthly fees that you're not already paying. It's just the initial upfront cost of installing this and setting up the system.
And if you go with seven cameras, but we feel we don't need them, we just don't get them, correct?
Correct.
And we can always add them later, too. So if you decide you only need five for right now, and then you figure out, well, we need one here because we're not seeing this crucial part, we can always add one in later, separate quote, all that jazz. So.
Okay.
And I make a motion that we get the seven cameras and recording package from Tremillo for $3,051.
Do I hear a second?
All second.
Any more discussion? Call vote?
Aye.
All right.
So, all right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Definitely I'll get out of here. Thank you.
Thank you.
We need to approve the resolution 2023-15. It's for the preliminary budget, the 2024 budget, and certifying the tax levy. This has to be completed by the end of September. If we don't do it tonight, if we do not approve this tonight, we will have to have a special meeting because it has to be approved before the end. Did everybody have a chance to go through the budget again? Does anybody have any changes to the budget that they'd like to make?
I've been in contact with the fire department accountant. First of all, the city of Emily and Cross Lake have bulked up their Relief Association of Retirement per year service, right now we're at 1,300. City vending stands 2,500. We asked for 2,500. Fire department life is like 2 to 10. Talking to our accountant today. In the past, we've financed the Relief Association through fire department donations. I don't see that going away, but there's been some red flags that have been brought to my attention as far as the city needs to start putting it in their budget. That way it eliminates any questions and audits later.
You guys would donate to us and then
that's what we've done for 27 years and that one. But we've had those checks and those donations crossed too closely. And to eliminate that moving forward, if we were to just budget X amount, then whenever they make the donation, it's already there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do we make the full donation? Last year we did cost, the city had to cough up $1,380, was it?
$1,084.
This year, looking at our finances moving forward, it's going to be about $3,600 in addition.
Is that, that's if you stay at the rate that you are and not raise the rate?
Mm-hmm. You got to remember, we make donations annually to cover that, and that's over and above what we donated, what they've had to cover.
The only thing I do want to say is then you have to revise your bylaws.
Yep.
Because it states in here now it's $1,300 per year. So you'd have to revise these, I would guess, first.
Okay. But on that same, on that note, mm-hmm. we need to find X amount of dollars to transfer around the budget.
Well, if you look at page 55, that's kind of a snapshot. If you look at page 55 in your packet, that's kind of the snapshot of your money, is what you're budgeting, where there's decreases and increases. Fire department has gone up $13,475, and that was for budgeting, I think it was small tools, and then vehicles. Yes. So right now you have $685,000 proposed, which is $60,000 over last year. And we just plugged in where we thought it should go, but it's up to you where you think it should go. Or if you want to raise it, you have to do that yet this month. Because after September, after this is approved by the county, you can't raise it anymore.
There is a part, I know I've been doing this a while, that I've asked about every single year.
What are you looking for?
So on page 2 of the budget, this is from last week's packet, but just the budget packet.
Okay.
It's City 50 Lake budget projections. How, is there a way to figure out versus what's moved into the city? How much taxes inside the city of 50 Lakes have gone up due to construction that are coming into the tax bill?
Do you know how to answer that?
You know what I'm kind of fishing for?
How much additional tax revenue has come in?
Correct.
Based off of building?
Yeah. Yes.
for construction. You put up a new pole barn, your taxes go up by some amount. How much of that should rotate back to the Does anybody know a formula for that?
I don't. And I don't think we get the projection yet. We're guessing even on our tax capacity projection here. I don't know exactly when we get that.
I know we're just based on square footage, but based on the amount of permits we sell in the city of 50 Lakes, how many dollars of volume is that? Any idea?
Compared to your overall valuation of property in the city, I would say it's negligible. I think the bigger factor is probably the market and the market value fluctuating. We don't track permit valuations. I know some cities that enforce the state building code do because that's how the fees are calculated.
So it's if I had a block, when they tear down a $100,000 cabin, build a $2.1 million cabin. That obviously relates into revenues for the.
Right.
It does, but it's not. I mean, the portion of the city tax revenue generated is not very big on $1 million cabin. You have a lot of properties in the city. I don't think there's probably a way to figure it out. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Someone at the county might be able to. I'm not sure. They would probably want, you know, a time frame. What, like, if you want to do it per year, the last 5 years, or because the way they do assessments, they go out, I believe, every 5 years. They have to physically set foot on the property. That's a statutory requirement. And then also, we send the permits over to the county so they know when new things are being built, and then they go out again. Yeah. So, I think I get your question, but I don't know how to figure it out. You have to kind of work it backwards.
And I can certainly ask.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. Can we get an idea without leaving, we've left money on the table every single year? That just goes in some way to county's revenues, and
that's. If you don't spend it, you the city still it goes into your budget. You yes. collect money from the county. The county collects property taxes and then distributes it to the city. If the city does not right. spend it, the county doesn't keep it. It's still the city's revenue.
Right, but there's X amount because of the volume that we've grown.
Yeah.
That we've left money on the table, and Karen explained it to me. Several times, not a lot, we've left.
With the county?
Yes.
We haven't levied enough, what you're saying. And I don't know, this process is new for me, but I don't know because you don't even know your tax capacity yet, we're guessing. Yes. So that's why, if you feel you...
That's why it's strange that we do a budget without knowing what our tax capacity is.
It is, and I'm excited to learn more about it, but... If you're feeling like a $60,000 increase is not enough, then now's the time to raise that.
Well, that's just where I've been going with this whole discussion. The only thing we've got is asking for more money than we've got laid out in the budget is that relief stuff that has just recently come up with.
Well, that's not true because you are increasing it by $60,000.
Well, part of that is already budgeted out for high-pressure tanks.
For the fire department? Mm-hmm. It's, as far as I've learned now, it's kind of a guessing game. Yeah. Some cities, they just take their overall budget and increase it by a certain percentage. We did 5%. I see some cities do 10. Some, you know, everybody's different. That's just based off of what you want. You know, I look at one of the biggest improvements we are making right now is fire relief and the fires. Mm-hmm. So if you want more information and you're not comfortable, then I say you schedule a special meeting.
I don't want to do that and spend much more people time and money on. Yeah, we'll just try to do better as we go forward. But we can rearrange this.
Absolutely. And you can lower it.
To fund Relief Association. Mm-hmm.
You're talking with the county, if we have monies, where does that monies go as far as ones against the city?
Any leftover funds that the city would get from the levy, I believe would go into your general fund. So if you budget, you know, 200 grand for a truck and you don't buy the truck, the money just goes into your general fund. It doesn't.
So it's not difficult to pull back money once we're happy that everything's covered in excess.
And it's just a matter of rearranging it.
Right.
You know, you budget certain for this area and you decide not to, like you said. And
I think the big, this is, sorry, Anne, I'm getting into your territory now.
Not at all. I appreciate your help.
The big thing with the preliminary budget, from my understanding, is that you can't raise it. Once you set the budget, that's as high as it can ever go.
Yes.
So I remember, I live in Brainerd, 1 year, they like doubled the size of their budget and everyone went crazy. It's like, your taxes are going to double, but it wasn't. They just set it high and then they started, you know, peeling it back and ended up settling on something reasonable. But just keep that in mind, you can't go higher. Right. You can go lower.
So that's why.
Can we add some to this figure tonight? And
absolutely. Because like Justin said, this
gas
is preliminary.
Gas has gone up and everything's gone up and that is asphalt.
Can you might figure what that 40 cents percentage wise was? Just took that 40 cent jump out of $269?
It was 279.
Or three, it was
374.
Yeah.
So 10% would be 370 or 37 cents. So 10% jump.
Yeah. And what percentage of this budget is?
This is at 5. We raised it 5% from last year to this. Or from 23 to 24.
And what a COLA was 4.5, was it not?
You budgeted a 5% COLA. Yeah, you haven't given.
We budgeted it for 10.5.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Mark, what you're saying about the fire department. You know, you've got an increase here of $13,000 over that. Mm-hmm. Last year, does that take care of what you're asking for, or do you want more yet, do you think?
Well, that's a kind of budgeting around something else. And we've got how much left over from
increase, and we can always decrease it at a later time, correct?
Yes, and that's what we'll work through for the next couple of months. By the end of the year, we have to have our final.
No, like what you've increased this, I don't really see that you've gone too far with it by any means, you know. And yes, have we gone far enough? And from that number, I don't see us decreasing it at all. And what if we need to increase, I guess, is, and I don't. I guess I'd rather have a little bit more than come up short.
And that's why I've really been kind of holding back on your motion for 685 today.
So if you do another
short and scramble for money later.
Right, I don't know that that 60 is enough.
Okay.
That's kind of been my feeling as I've thought about this for a bit. I think you're probably being very frugal with that.
And that's how Karen's always tended to be.
Is that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, you get your numbers handier than I would.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 5% increase. How much would it be at 7%?
Well, what I just did, okay. Well, I just increased the 685 times 2%. Isn't an additional 13,700? If I increase it additional 5%, so then your total, well, then it'd be 10%, would be an additional $34,250. So it's just throwing out that magic number.
So based on a 7%, it would be $698. And a 7% increase.
That'd be six. It'd be 668,750.
668?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did that wrong.
You were wrong, right?
Yeah, I did.
685. I don't think you got to do it right. Take a look at 6-2.
Yeah, 698,700.
I make a motion to budget 698,700.
I'll second
the 2024 budget.
I'll second that, unless there needs to be discussion.
Yeah, I'll second that. Is there any more discussion on that?
I would just need to know where you want me to put that additional then.
I think for now you spread it around the four places evenly.
Okay.
And we'll make adjustments as we need to.
Okay.
Any more discussion on this? You ready for a vote?
Aye.
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 Okay, so I wasn't paying attention quite there that there's a resolution.
Yes, resolution 2023-15.
Mm-hmm.
For 698,700.
Yes, if you would say that, please.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's okay. So I would need you to adopt that resolution.
No, I just...
Did you make that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
What page is it on?
72.
72?
Yes.
Did you make a motion to accept the resolution? Is that what you did?
Yes, accept the resolution, but instead of using her 685, I did 698,700. Give us 2% more to play with to allocate the pack.
Yep.
Okay.
Wait a second. You need a second?
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Finally, we're Justin.
We are up to committee reports. Planning and zoning. It's like Jerry and Justin.
Jeez.
I'm home till 10. No, I'm scared.
I'll hand it over to you, Justin.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Planning Commission had the regular meeting in August, at which there were no public hearings, so there are no recommendations for your consideration tonight. They did approve a meets and bounds subdivision to split a 39.6-acre parcel into two tracts. That property is located at 39796 Majestic Road. It's at the very end of the cul-de-sac and Majestic Road, splitting that into two. We also had a really good conversation with Tom Langer, who is with a watershed district out of Washington County. I believe he has a place up here, but he requested to be on the agenda to discuss shoreline management, kind of observations that he's had in the city and throughout the area, ordinances and enforcement. And I do encourage you, if you get a chance, to listen to that audio recording. It was about an hour-long conversation, and then also... we do have slides that went along with that. And then he also left some publications if you're interested in.
Is that in our email?
I don't think it was emailed out. I can or it's, is it online? We don't post audio.
The audio is online. I can email you the presentation though if you'd like.
Yeah, it's something we click on or something.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really good. And then over the next few months, I'll say winter months, the Planning Commission is going to be reviewing several sections of the zoning ordinance regarding park dedication fees, recreational vehicles, potential food truck ordinances, and shoreline grading sections of the ordinance. And then those, of course, will be sent to council for final consideration. We'll
do you have some thoughts on each one of those? Obviously, you're bringing them up. What are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, so a couple of these have been brought up by different individuals within the city. Just suggestions to review these sections of the ordinance. So park dedication fees were probably a little bit low right now compared to other cities in terms of the fees you collect as part of the development.
What is ours and what's it based off? Is it based off the selling price, the tax rate?
I believe it's 1% of the county assessed value. So if you have a $100,000 property, your park dedication fee is $1,000. Yeah. And that's probably a little bit low compared to other cities. Other cities, a lot of cities do it on a per lot basis. So if you're creating 40 lots, you're going to bring in 40 new single family homes, you're going to be charged, you know, whatever, $500 per lot or whatever it is. So we just wanted to do a comparison, look at what other area communities are doing, and then potentially update the code.
Would that be based on if they're separating meets and bounds then also?
That was discussed at the Planning Commission's, I think, recommendation, Mayor, I think you were at some of those meetings, was to not require park dedication fees for meets and bounds subdivisions, with the understanding that generally those splits are, like the one we just did, splitting one parcel into two. They're typically not big developers coming in and creating a bunch of new homes. It's a lot of times, you know, a lot of times between family members, and you could require park dedication fees for those.
We still have the three, you can do three splits?
Up to three new parcels every 5 years. Yeah.
What's the minimum lot size we have on that then?
Depends on the zoning district, but each zone has its own minimum size and area, or width requirements. So we're going to be working on it this winter. The other one, recreational vehicles, so we wanted to look at the code and potentially break it up into a short-term permit and a long-term permit for RVs. Right now the process is sort of, I don't know the right term, convoluted. There are campers out there that don't have permits, right? They're all over. We got a list. Thanks, Chad. So we want to kind of get everyone on the same page, determine exactly if the city wants to require permits, how long that permit is valid for, when are we going to require sewer, a septic system, and water. So the thought right now is to allow campers to be placed for up to 3 years with a one-time permit. After that, you'd be required to get an interim use permit, so notification to the neighbors, have a public hearing, and with that IUP, you'd be required to install a septic and a well, with the understanding that if you've had it there for more than 3 years, it's probably, you know, sounds like you're going to want it there for more of a longer term basis. The 3 years gives people the opportunity to plan for a septic and a well. That's a big expense, both of those. So that's kind of where they're at right now, but we want to get everyone on the same page. Because right now there are some people that have permits, others that don't. The thing we've been discussing is enforcement. Like we always discuss, who's going to be monitoring how long these RVs are, you know, on a property, and what if they pull it off for a day and then bring it back on? Does the clock reset? So we're talking through some of those things.
Do you think the three-year permit for the CUP afterwards or IUP?
Yep.
Is it working? Do you think there's that many? How many RVs are we talking about?
There's a handful. I mean, I think I have a list of maybe 10. I've been writing them down too now as I go around. Kind of have put a spreadsheet together. So I plan on sending letters out to all of those people on the list this winter. and letting them know about the new ordinance. But yeah, there are a handful that are unpermitted. Maybe, I don't know.
But those RVs that you're referring to, are the ones that are parked on lots because nothing else is there?
Yeah. And they're ones that I see, so I know that there are others. You know, I can't see them if they're in the middle of a 40-acre parcel, other than on an aerial.
Okay.
But that's where, you know, gets tricky.
How does that work? Does the county, when they come through, the assessor, when they come through every 5 years, do they tell you? Because don't they have the ability to go into private property and look?
They do. I've never got a report of an RV on a property. I've got plenty of reports for sheds, garages, never a dwelling. But usually, you know, people put sometimes a small shed just assuming they don't need a permit or trying to get away with it. And we do get reports on that. Because they go under their assessment and they say, well, we want a permit for this. And then they let us know and then we send the letter and get after the fact. It just happened, I think this spring, someone got a after the fact penalty on that for a shed. So it's RVs, food trucks. I don't know how much you want to get into this, but the city received an inquiry regarding potentially placing a food truck or maybe even establishing kind of a food truck, what would you call it, like a food truck court, where you have several. It's like a community thing where you have several food trucks placed on, whether it's a city-owned property or a different property, if that's a use that you want to allow in the city. If you want to get into this now, we can, but I was in Austin a few years ago, Austin, Texas, and they had a really cool downtown area where there's this big lot with like six or seven food trucks and picnic tables, and it was an idea brought up like, hey, that's something that could bring people to the community. You don't have restaurants at the bar, so would it take away from that? Just an idea that was brought up, so we're going to discuss it. Right now, if, say, the bar wanted to have a food truck out here in the parking lot, there's no zoning permit that's required for that. That's considered just an accessory use, serving a business. You know, we're not going to require a permit for that. But if someone were to set up on, say, a random private property on the county road and they're establishing it there long term, to me, that's now changing the use of that property. Now it's a commercial use, so we would want to look at requiring probably a permit so we can look at traffic and notify the county and make sure they have state licenses and the whole thing. So it's an idea that's been brought up, something that we're going to be reviewing and discussing. And then shoreline grading, we want to kind of simplify the ordinance as to what exactly is allowed for shoreline grading. So any, like sand, you want to allow small beaches or, you know, it's not very well defined in the ordinance. You allow up to 10 cubic yards of movement of material in the lake setback. So like the county, and I think Cross Lake has something where they say, we'll allow a, they call it like a shore recreation area. It's very well defined. It's 15 by 10 and it's, you can have it this deep and this is where you can put it kind of thing. And we don't have anything like that. So something to discuss.
So you're going to write something into it that there has to be a separation between the water and the sand areas then?
Yeah, they do now. And that would be definitely incorporated into the code. Yep. So lots of things to work on. And they'll all be reviewed by council at one point, if they move forward. So if you have input or comments on that, let me know, or let Jess or Ann know, and then we can try to incorporate some of that in the ordinance. Okay. In addition to that, the Planning Commission did reduce the Horvath bond amount based on... So Horvath is the contractor that's going to be building a cell phone tower that I get one question a week on.
And we get...
And they probably get two or three, and I don't know the time frame yet, so I meant to contact them before tonight, and I didn't. But as part of that conditional use permit, The Planning Commission determined a bond amount for future site restoration in the event, in the rare event, I'll say, that Horvath, or whoever the property owner is in the future, just leaves town and they leave this tower standing there. Then it becomes the city's responsibility to remove it. So they provided a quote from a contractor out of Forest Lake. I then sent that to the city engineer. He was okay with it. He did say, you know, hey, you know, the next 20, 25 years there's going to be inflation, so you probably don't want to reduce it too much. But the Planning Commission did settle on reducing that bond from $103,000 down to $75,000 bond amount. So I did send a letter to Horvath notifying them of that. We haven't seen the bond come through yet, so we're waiting on that and the permit application. I think that's the final things on that. Questions on that? If not, we had a busy year. We've issued 42 land use permits compared to 34 at this time last year, and 12 septic permits compared to 8 last year. So permits up a little bit, and it's been a good busy year. And you're probably sick of me, so.
Thank you.
That's all I have for tonight.
Thanks for all your help.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Say to finish is not really exactly correct. It was to do the work of further deal. There's still things that need to be done there. And I kind of discussed a little bit with Pam, and it isn't a great deal, but there are some things. And, I think it has to do, you know, how we want to proceed with it at this point. Do we need to?
Thing is, like you and I discussed, there's never been a picture or a drawing of what that.
No, no.
I've never seen a print since day one.
No, because there wasn't one. There isn't one.
There isn't one.
No.
It's all been done
on the fly, and it's getting very, very close. It's going to be very usable. Like, there's just some kind of minor details that are going to need to be finished up.
I like the two gable ends, but we can't leave those with plywood.
They're painted plywood, so they are somewhat protected. You know, that's the thing. I think what I had kind of taken note of were the gable ends. The beams are exposed. We can paint them for now if we'd like. The one problem I see there, and we don't have to worry about it this year, is on the inside and on the outside, the soffit and the ceiling cover is not so tight that bees can't get up in it.
I can see it.
We don't want that.
So, you know, whether, and that's where, what do we want to do? Do we want to just put a trim piece in there and paint the beams? Do we want to do a beam cover with like cedar or something, or yeah, metal, or?
And on the inside, we've got all those hurricane clips showing.
Exactly. You know, and that's where just by putting a trim, a 1x4 on there would cover that. That would be the least expensive, you know, upfront deal. Not the best looking by any means, but see, these are the details that I don't know what to say or do, or, you know, I think we all have, we need to possibly sit down, and I'd be willing to come to your park meeting and discuss this there. You know, we need to get a kind of a, it isn't much of a plan of attack, but we do need a little bit of one. You know, like I put FRP on two walls and a ceiling. We've got two exposed walls there. I stopped up at Lucier Park and they just painted theirs.
So, you know, it's stuff like that that, as I talked with Ann too, we need to get grab bars in there. You know, we need to mount those on concrete. Would we be better off building a wall and mounting it on that? You know, these are things that I feel kind of need to be discussed.
You can't attach a grab bar to concrete with the TACCON or anything?
I think you can, but you know, once it starts loosening, it's gone, you know, but I guess that's, yeah, you can attach to concrete.
Well, I wonder if there's a state regulation on that though, too. We should maybe check just to make sure if there's a state.
Well, we're probably going to have to
require us to.
I'm guessing that's a.
There are grab bar.
But can we attach it to the cement wall, or do we have to? They may have.
At Lucier, they did. At Lucier.
Right into the concrete?
Their entire, now that's much more primitive than ours.
It's a vault toilet, yes.
Yeah, but they did attach to the concrete there, so. And we can, you know, that isn't a problem, so. But it's just some final details that I think really need to be talked about.
Well, covering up, yeah, the plywood's painted at this point. That's going to protect it for a little while, but I think moving forward, we'd be better off. I'd like to see cedar shakes on both ends. They're good forever.
Shakes are nice. And see, these are the discussions we need to have. You know, we don't want it looking. Right now it's functional, but in time, I think we kind of talked a little bit about maybe putting metal on the ceiling. Right now, what we did was quick and inexpensive. It's functional for a number of years. And then if we want to improve it, we can. We're not feeling bad about covering up something that didn't cost that much and stuff. And, you know, shakes on the gables.
The shakes, how would that look if you brought them down and covered the wall extension you had to make? So they came at cedar shakes were down here and then step up at the edge and continue.
On the interior, or on the exterior, yeah, where that plate continued down that extra 5 inches. Yeah, that could be shaped and you could put a step in there without problem, you know. See, these are, you know, there's a lot of things, different materials and looks we can get on that. Right, again, I say right now it's functional, but we can go, you know, now we can go for a certain look if we want and use the material to do that.
Just look when it's finished.
Exactly.
How do those beams look if they're just stained or finished? They're already sealed, right?
Yes, they're sealed. There's nothing, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, you'd probably have to use more of a solid paint. They've got printing on them and marks, and I don't know that a stain would really probably.
Would you want to paint those before you put up a cedar trim board? Because I like the trim board idea. The other thing that brought to me is, do you checkerboard the whole thing in like 1x4? Or do you?
Right, and I, you know, I offset my, I did a 4 foot offset on my plywood in there, and that was one thing I thought about, railroad tracking and keeping it all even and then laying cedar battens over it. But then it had been discussed that possibly in the future we'd put a metal ceiling in there. So I offset the seams, and it's just, I mean, we can still batten it, but you know, these are things that need to be discussed.
The thing about steel is not just a matter of slapping it up, you got to do the trim on that.
You've got to trim around the interior of that.
Oh, yes. Or if you just got 1x4 pine.
Yeah, that's a quick, easy.
What's the difference in 1x4 pine or 1x4 cedar butt double?
Probably, yeah. And there, then again, you know, any finishing of the ceiling inside, that has to be done. There's a bit left there.
Yeah.
Those ceilings, they're not painted?
No. Okay. It's just raw plywood in there right now.
It's just to get everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, electricians got to come in.
See, and that's what's holding me up on finishing the FRP on the one wall. I got to stay out of there until he gets his electric and gets it inspected now. So,
I'm like that close to being done, but that's what's holding me up.
Well, how do you attach the FRP to the concrete?
I am not. I believe what I had to do was build walls and attach it to those.
Or block walls, just remain block walls.
Right, and paint them. With a good
epoxy paint.
Yeah. That would be my opinion, yeah.
Do plumbers do grab bars, or really, is that something we...
They won't even put the damn flashing on the roof. I'll probably go up next week and do that. Well, that's like a talk chat.
He's younger and more nimble. So,
sounds like
do we just need to approve this for what you... This is just what's coming to be done.
Was this an FYI, or do we need a motion?
No, we need a motion, and he's correct. Take out finish. I should have never put finish in there. I would say something to the effect of approval to hire Staples Construction per bid.
Right.
Received or something.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we hire Staples Construction to for the amount of the bid to work on the pavilion in the park.
Oh my gosh.
That's
horrible.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? Vote?
Aye.
Aye.
And I do want to let you know that he did sign an affidavit of interest of what he's doing. It's a requirement for our auditor.
Very good. So update on the status of the foundation building. Apparently they can donate that to us. There's nothing saying that we have to be...
Right, we just got to get them to figure out what they can do with it.
And right.
They've been fighting for 3 years. Maybe 4 years.
Who's involved there? Is it John or is it...
John, Jamie, Jody. They had an emergency meeting and two people showed up. Sent 100 letters out. You got to remember, probably, I want to say easily 40% of the people aren't even with us anymore.
Right.
And you think about the Wardens and Clements and Pearls and Rodden and Manger's probably the only one holding on. And if you want to reflect on what was brought up earlier about City Binary and Dirt, or do you want to go down and check somewhere else? We'll discuss that later. Remember, we talked about the city possibly buying more property. Yes, we may end up with that. But that's all we're going to get. It's only hopefully a
couple of acres, I believe.
Yeah, I looked it up a while ago. It was 2 acres, I think.
Yeah.
So that's just an update on that.
One acre.
Is that what that is? Really?
Very big. Oh, I know it seems bigger.
It's just long and thin. It's just squished in there, isn't it?
Yep.
All right.
There isn't much ground there. I did talk to Steve. He would possibly be okay with something along his lines. Well, I was buying property.
Probably for a future date. I want to back up a little bit, back up to parks, because I left off the, I mentioned the electrical, but we have two bids here.
Oh, we do.
There are your papers that were on here. Yeah, there's two bids from Northern Lakes.
Two bids.
Mm-hmm. But, the two bids. One was bid in June, and one was bid in September.
And you actually did accept the June one?
We did.
We did approve that one in June.
This Timber Ridge one is already done, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's really set for this. Different project. That's a different project.
Oh, this has nothing to do with this. No.
That was a siren.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Right. So there's quite a difference in the change. We did originally, accept this bid, but he has rebid it. We have added, a few things, not a lot, but a few things. So GIF is more receptacles.
Only 1 4-foot LED strip light. They're not going to go on each side.
That's for the bathroom?
I believe that was for the bathroom.
We're not going to put one on the, in the other room?
No, I just need a light bulb.
In the mechanical room?
Yeah, it's kind of showing, I think, one JFI and two receptacles in the mechanical room, if I'm not mistaken. And it shows a light. Well, here's a bath fan that I would imagine that goes into the bathroom and this would be a utility room.
Why are they putting they're putting the LED in the mechanical room and not in the...
No, I mean, that LED would go in the bathroom.
That's what I would think, too. I would think you want them both, because it's a better light.
So the difference is $2,983.
Yeah, the bid almost doubled.
And it's because we added GFIs, receptacles, a single pole switch, the wiring for hand dryer, wiring for a water heater. And then we did four double duplex GFI receptacles. He had only bid the two, Gary. You want to draw it?
Yeah, the four game.
Yep.
A couple of on pretty much everywhere, because we're probably not going to have any electrical on the water part side of the, you know, we've got some on this side mainly, but there's nothing over it on the other side because of the water.
I don't see the water heater on there.
That's coming from the plumber.
Yeah, so he's just put in the receptacle for the water heater.
Oh. And rather than the water heater, what's the price difference between a just on demand one that we're not heating water and we don't use it?
Well, that's what I suggested.
Because, wow. And what happens if that thing doesn't get used for 2-3 weeks and we're sitting there heating, even if it's a small water heater, you're still heating. What is as small as you get, 15? Either way, you're heating up water that...
Yeah, I think we should get a non-demand one.
I did email the plumber to get an update on that, because it is just, I think it's like a 6-gallon water heater. That was included in what you approved.
What's the price difference?
He hasn't got back to me.
Sorry, change the subject. Go back to electrician here. Wow, $5,900.
So if council so agrees, then I would need a motion to for an additional $2,983 for the electrical.
Seems like an awful lot of money, but we do need to have it done.
Yeah, we changed stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. Any more discussion? Vote?
Aye.
And then just FYI, this is a hand dryer. It's not included.
Which is, yeah.
It's $510. So I can just order it.
You know, that's rather the paper towels or whatever, you know.
I know, I can't get paper, but boy, it needs to be nice not having to clean up paper towels.
Exactly. And they end up everywhere,
yeah. Chad kind of wants you to just go with paper towels.
Chad wants us to go with paper towels?
I didn't hear that.
Must be a different Chad.
She's trying to throw me under the bus.
Good job. She's doing review the contract from Premium Grant Services. We actually found a grant writer for one of the gals that is on our park committee. and I'm not real familiar with grant writers, but apparently it's quite the, if you could do it, you've got quite the talent, you're going to the schooling and stuff. She's $60 an hour. Well, it depends on what grant you're going to be doing. Some of them are easy and they don't take that long. Some of them, like the one that Peterson wrote, what, he said he had $200 into it?
Yeah, he wasn't a grant.
Right, he wasn't, no, but he only took a little, yeah.
So this person, I'm assuming we could be able to use her on various different things.
Yeah, she was very excited.
Does she kind of have her finger on the pulse of, would she know about a grant that we're unaware of?
She already looked it up. Yep, she already found the DNR grant before I even told her about it, of which that's what Mission Township applied for. And I believe they got around $200,000.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
So she's got her radar open all the way around.
And she was very impressed with all the history I had on the park, because she needs to know when the park was started, when this equipment was installed, how it was paid for, all that, what is still outstanding. And so I emailed her everything. She was very happy with that because that makes her job so much easier than to write the grant. And there is the Sourcewell matching grant where if council so wants to hire her, that's a consulting service then, and we can receive up to $10,000. To match.
I would like to make a motion that we hire Premium Grant Writing Services LLC for a permanent price of $60 per hour to explore the possibilities for grants for the park.
And other things.
Another thing, just a grant for the city.
I'll second that.
Then the only thing I want to know is, would you like this to go to the city attorney for review first, or are you?
It's probably a pretty good idea. Okay. Yeah, I think we should go through the city attorney. Do you want to just amend your motion to on the advice of the attorney?
For the advice of the attorney, I guess.
I'll keep Sarah.
Okay,
any
other discussion? Vote, please.
Aye.
Okay. Approval of the chair, table chair use agreement, which includes the is the tables and chairs next door, the old city hall, fair hall.
I think that's a good idea.
Did we have this before, anything like this? We had nothing, so people would just come in and say, I want 5 tables and 20 chairs, and you just take their name and away they go. And
yeah. Okay. And it's gotten busier and busier, and we just need to have more organization with all this, so I'm not running over there last minute, and he's not having to load and unload, and we wanted to make it very clear, we're checking it in, we're checking it out, and there is no help loading and unloading.
Yeah, they're providing the...
Do we need a motion on this?
Please.
I'd make a motion that we accept this chair rental agreement.
I'll second. Any other discussion? Vote?
Aye.
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 Easy done.
Then if we could do the timber ridge.
The timber ridge, okay. And I did not realize that this is for the siren. The siren that we have?
The siren that we have and the electrical was taken away.
We had never rewired.
So this is for work already completed?
Yes. So I would like that approved, and then I need to know who's paying for that.
I think it should come out of the city budget.
I agree, in general.
Absolutely not.
Can I make a motion to pay Timber Ridge Electric $5,777.
I'll second.
Any other discussion?
Okay. So you want it to come out of city general? Would you like to come out of public safety? I can't find my treasurer's refund.
Public
The city general fund, because we all, most of us know the reason why that.
Yeah, I agree with Mark on the general.
Yeah, I agree with the general fund too.
Thank you.
And I believe that is it for Parks and Rec. So we will go on to fire and rescue. Jill is not here. Jesse, got some words of wisdom?
We had, last month, we had one fire call, three medical calls. Keith applied for a grant for AEDs in the spring, and he received one beginning of this month. So we got an AED crew grant.
That grant might even help them get his tools.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, the hard part for a grant writer, what we run into on the fire department, is because we are very frugal and have money in the bank, it's hard to get grants. When you're good at managing your money, they don't like to give you money. They watch the source call. But I know from the fire department's aspect, they look at it and go, well, your city's got that much money on it, your savings account. Why do we need to borrow money from them?
Well, they're not borrowing their funds to give us some.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? That's really not the problem. I mean, it's awesome, and that's why I like living with their meetings. I mean, the city's all in the hole. Bob Spencer, do you want to read?
Yes. Update on emergency sirens.
We've located two spots, one of them being up on the hill still, which can have the greatest impact. But then putting the second one, you know our Szymanski South line is,
mm-hmm.
right at Pueblo Trail?
Mm-hmm.
We approached the county there because it's also where we get the most coverage up north, and we would get, Emily Hope, did you get a hold of whoever the emergency management person was?
Would that be taken care of Emily as much as it is us?
I know, that's where we're going to get Emily. Right now we got a $50,000 grant, and the cost is like $59,000 so far. It'd be easier to get them if we're helping Wood Lake through the woods, meaning like...
Right, right.
Maybe they pay half, $4,000.
Yeah, I'd say there's probably more Emily citizens over here that siren than 58.
Yeah, that's way up in our northern end.
Yeah.
But it also was going to supposedly with the... I have my youngest here for the coverage, because the people that write those sirens don't live on a lake, so they think that it's only going to cover two-thirds of Mitchell Lake.
Right.
Which we all know is irrelevant, but this covers for the decibel level all the way to...
Bob had been looking at, what is that? On the hill before the access. Back
River Lane?
What is it?
River Lane?
No, not River, on the other side.
North
before
Mitchell?
Jim Anderson's, off to the right, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sumac Road.
Yeah.
But that, you're kind of in the same valley where, and
you're catching that with the people one.
And the reason we went that far north, if you look at the road,
over
it kind
that,
of hooks into 50 lakes, and that's right about where it hits the Emily line again. So technically, this pole will be in Emily.
Right.
But it's going to cover that area. And anybody, it puts the decibel level. Covering what this siren doesn't, coming down all the way to Euro.
Right.
So on the first Wednesday of every month next summer, it's going to be no easier to work at 1 o'clock.
All right, what the people are asking for.
Yes, that's the
We are up to, is there anything else in fire and rescue? Road construction maintenance. Total quote from AAA Equipment Center for a blower of $1,798.
The reason we're asking for that is, actually most everybody here would probably understand how leaves get impacted when you're trying to grade the road. And they make a mess. Or if we have a blower, we can blow those out of the way.
It's kind of a shield and you start skipping over it.
And it says it's a walk behind, but the plans are to put it on a skid. Take the tractor down, blow everything off, grade it. Maybe a little more mobile than a walk behind.
It'll take a long time, Mark. If the grader be as heel,
you can make and walk. You just take turns, you both lose some weight. So that's what I'm looking for, is $1,798 blower.
I'll make a motion that we purchase a blower for taking the leaves off the road.
And cleaning the gravel up
and trying to clean and stuff, yeah.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion? Good vote.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Approval to attend the Minnesota Fall Maintenance Expo in October 4th and 5th. Where's this at?
St. Cloud.
St. Cloud. Do you go every year?
Yep.
Alright.
And I only go one day, the 5th.
Okay.
And the cost is $50.
Well, I make the motion that we approve Chad. Are you taking group two? No, just Chad. Going to the Minnesota Fall Maintenance Expo. October 5th, the cost of $50 plus mileage.
I'll second.
Any other discussion? Vote.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Anything? Oh, roads. Yes,
I have. Lake maintenance, please.
Yep. Okay. I got a phone call from Jackie Bailey. Did she talk to you too? She apparently is in charge of trying to get somebody to maintain North Keeble Lake Road, the private road from Wolf Lake that goes up past Dagner's and all the way to Petix. She's looking for somebody to maintain it. I was wondering if the city would be interested in maintaining it, which would mean grading it in the summer and snow plowing in the winter. I didn't know if the city wants to even get involved in that, if we have the time and resources. I'm not sure. It's a private road.
We went through all this back when a couple of years ago, and they did all the findings, and we had engineers up there and everything, and yep. It's just not feasible to make it a city road.
No, they don't want to make it a city road.
Right, but
they want to hire us to maintain it the way it is.
But then we'd have to start maintaining Pine Street.
They would pay the city to do it. I don't expect it for free.
Was it built to spec for discussion?
They want to hire the city to grade it in the summer and snowfall it in the winter.
But it would still, they'd have to bring it up to a certain spec because, speaking of personal experience, I've grenaded a plow on that road twice. Okay. It's not something, it's not ready to be taken over by anybody.
Okay. Well, I told Jackie I would bring it up, so she's shopping around for somebody to make, I suppose, especially this winter. There's no plowing coming up, but yeah, I can see where it could be a can of worms too. We start with one, you've got a bunch more stuff too. So
all kinds of things.
Well, you're showing liabilities, we're breaking our equipment on a substandard road.
No. And there's other roads that have already been on, trying to look it up several years ago, Northland Drive, North Adams, went down there. And they're asphalt already. And that's all heated. That's all city property. But then we said, well, you'd have to cut down all these trees to open up the canopy for plow trucks.
No, we don't want to go down there.
Well, I'll call Jackie back.
I've talked to her twice in a long time, but I talked with her and gave her some options on that.
Well, she brought it up. I told her I'd bring it up at the meeting, so we talked about it. So that's a concern. The other concern that I have that I put under was brush, leaves of brush. Emily has a dump, and Cross Lake has a dump. Emily closed theirs because they ran into some problems. People weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing there. So they closed theirs. Some of our residents were going over there and using that. Also, some of them were going over and using Cross Lake, but they've gotten stricter. Emily's is now closed. Cross Lake is monitoring their residents only.
On 48, they got Crooked Lake.
Oh, yeah. That anybody can use?
I don't know. It's probably citizen only or by, asking.
But that goes back to my comment last council meeting. The city needs to buy some.
We don't have the property for it. It kind of needs what Jill had brought up about a community garden, too.
Right.
We just don't have the property for it. Right.
One option I was thinking about is we don't have that. We don't have. And I was talking to Mike Milbreath about it. Apparently, and I understand, what do you do with it if you just have, a small area and you don't have any place to put it for your, they'll haul it somewhere. The county owns quite a bit of land around here. I was thinking if we approach the county, maybe we could work something out with them where our residents would have some place just to push dump brush and leaves.
And I like that thought because going back, did the city not own the dump at one time? We gave that to the county. We never received a place in return to do exactly what we're looking for.
Right, we don't want to drop any garbage, but just for leaves and brush and tree trimmings and...
The bad part is those things, and that's where Emily having it where they can, and it's not, I don't know if you're familiar with it, it's kind of odd, it's on the end of if you go on Whitetail Trail, it's just to the left. And when the leaves are down, you can see it pretty easily. But it's going to be, a maintenance person is going to have to be checking in because what about the couches and the dog collars and the tables that people
just toss it over the gate.
Right.
Have to be pretty strict.
We've kind of done, this has been an ongoing thing for a long time. We try to do a good deed like that and people just take advantage of us. I've sure seen a lot of garbage on the road for free here in the last week or two. Well, instead of putting it at the end of the roads, they're going to be bringing, it's sad that we've got to be like this. Recycling and all of this sort of thing, everybody just takes advantage of it.
And we tried to do the recycling center, and we loved it because it cut our trash in half.
But everybody else ruins it.
I've gone in there a few times and it's full of dimensional lumber that somebody ripped out of a building site. That's not really recyclable. That's right. Plastic.
Right. I still would like to pursue this, though. And maybe we'll have Ann contact the county and see if there is such a thing, or we can work something out with them, or...
And to put a card in your cap, find out if you can go back, and you guys might know better than Ann even, what year did that dump get converted, or bring it up to Karen. I believe it was probably about 1990-ish?
I'm thinking it was right in the 90s, too. Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did the city own that parcel, that 40 acres, then? And if so, shouldn't the county give us 40 acres?
You'd certainly think so.
What you saying?
I love your idea.
I know the city used to pay employees to man that.
Yes, we did.
In history,
but the city owned it. That's what I'm thinking. The city owned it, and then when they condemned it, we washed our hands and gave it to the county. We lost, that's 40 acres that, but it's actually a pretty convenient spot if somebody wanted to dump leaves, and once a year, you burns them up. And that's the thing, Emily has their fire going probably most of the summer. There's enough people hauling brush and stuff in.
Sure.
But then if you're building an Emily, you can dump your stumps and whatnot. So you keep that fire going. And people are, Greg's neighbor approached me yesterday, well, we got to do all the brush and stuff.
And just like Chad, I'm going to dump it off my property for now. We're working on a solution to the problem, but it's going to have to be something that's somewhat accessible, easy for people to get to, and for Chad to be checking on. Because somebody's got to be keeping their eye on it. And that's where the whole camera thing, I mean, Emily, they're trying to put cameras up in the field. People still, if you barely went in behind where the city maintenance building is now, and it's under video surveillance, and they have those cameras, we're working, and people still threw their garbage into the bin.
One thing a resident I just wanted to share did suggest, it was Mike Milbrath, is would the council entertain doing a cost share with one of the neighboring cities?
Oh, yeah, there's another option too. I'm sorry, we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would check.
A good site that I was just thinking would be Golden Pit.
But that's not, well, the land next to this county, though.
Yeah,
that hillside and stuff, but is there a spot where that's, where you could, and you're going to have to go in there and build it.
Yeah, that's clear.
Yep.
I don't know, I would like to see it explore some options. I think it's a needed thing for, people need this. So.
And who knows how long I'm going to have mine. And Chad's been dumping on my property since Bill was there, so that goes back 10 years. Maybe use my property to dump on.
Well, get ready for more because it's on tape.
The address is.
Well, the problem is, and that's the other thing, the county doesn't do, if you go to the Cass County side, Forest Service Road has a 911 number. Crow-Wing County doesn't do that. Unless you have a structure, you don't need a 911 number. Which I think is kind of silly. It's not something that we could address. And it's something we could, as a city, say, how come you guys don't do that? But if you go to Cass County, Itasca, any of these other counties, there's a 911 number when you pull off to go grouse hunting down this Forest Service Road.
Okay, if you would just do some exploring on that, I'd appreciate it.
No problem.
We'll get some more. Is that it for road construction and maintenance?
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on from liquor store. And Randy, your lovely assistant is not here.
Take them back. Got to put a list in that pulled up for the P&Ls. Just go through a couple things. If you look at the gross profit for August 2023, we're at $43 and change compared to $52,000 the year prior. Same way with the net profit, we're about $7,200 for 2023 August, and we're 2022 we're at $15,000. Let you guys cruise through this. If you have any questions, in talking with Ann, we need to look at under the repair and maintenance. The AC?
Yep.
Work done of close to $7,500, which really affected the large take on that. And I think we need to a clarification with our accountant. Two ways of looking at it, and I've talked to you about it. I think the city should be involved with some of this cost. And if not that, then we need to figure out a reason that it just doesn't hit 1 month. And throw the numbers out of whack.
Can it be amortized? I mean, it is equipment. It was equipment.
It's not equipment, though, really. It's labor.
It was labor.
I mean, we can sit and look at the invoice. That's just how, when Karen was in and helped me with that part, she said, because I said, can that be depreciated? And she said, no. So I will ask the auditor when I'm at class two this week, what cities typically do, so it doesn't hit your P&L like that. And we can revise it. But then to the city having any cost share with that, it's been a straightforward no. with the auditor that this building, you have to look at it as two separate buildings. This is City Hall, that's the bar. The bar is responsible for all of their repair, all their maintenance, everything. They have to stand alone.
And that kind of goes to what went on last winter when we needed the thaw.
Yes.
You know, this part of the building didn't need it. I mean, there's nobody walking around tramping down insulation where the liquor store did, and they ended up paying for the entire works. But we didn't do anything on this part of the building, so that...
Right, and that was a $4,000.
Well, and that again was a deal where it really skewed the number because it all got hit, I think that was...
It was all grand, it was just over four. Yeah.
Over four, yeah. So, I don't know, I kind of expect to see these things occasionally, and with an explanation, you know, it's understandable.
When you did the insulation over there, did you get a build a catwalk so that wouldn't happen in the future? Yes.
And yes, I appreciate what you're saying, but it's been made very clear because it did happen in the past where the city was paying for things or the liquor store.
Yeah, if we could just take a look at it.
No problem.
Just a couple highlights with regard to staff and the approval of hiring of Joe for a part-time cleaner and the accepted resignation from Sweet York also. Andy, do you want to talk about the events quote?
Sure. I will need two separate motions for those. The approval for hiring Joe.
Okay. I make a motion to accept the hiring of Joe Juttner, part-time cleaner, and accept the resignation of Sue York. That was separate.
Separate motions?
Separate motions.
I'll second both those motions.
Okay.
Go for vote. Aye.
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 And you understand Joe's at $20 an hour. That's the standard for the cleaning. Okay, the hood vent. That was a request from Mark and myself. Yes. So that is for a hood vent in the kitchen because of the smell. But then in visiting with Chad and Mark and I believe Gary, I don't know that that's going to solve the problem because the fan is not big enough.
How much of an exhaust port do we have?
8 inches.
8 inch? And you can't put enough CFUs through 8 inch?
Yeah, I know. I'd have to buy a bigger fan. You'd have to buy a fan to suck it out of the kitchen. You could buy a fan for it in line. You can buy a fan for the roof. So you could actually have three fans to pull it if you wanted. But then you got to buy them.
So what are you suggesting? Are you suggesting two fans then to power draft it out?
I was thinking, yeah. Well, I stopped down at the A to Z restaurant thing down there, and they have the big turbines you can stick on the roof, and it'll suck everything out of the building. But I didn't ask them how much it was or anything. And then they actually had stuff to the ceiling, too.
The hood vents?
The hood vents, too.
What did they look like in price versus the 37?
I didn't ask any prices or anything.
Let's do some more research on this. Maybe we should do some pricing from A to Z and then get some pricing on some fans. Because, yeah, definitely, I think we need to do some of that.
Yeah, I'm starting to hear complaints. And now that people are gone for a while, but...
We're going to get closed up more and more as it gets cooler and colder, too. And so that's
very nice.
It's not going to get any
better. Well, I would appreciate it as working here. And every Tuesday when they start them wings... It's nauseating.
Should we involve an HVAC person that could definitely make sure what we're doing is correct?
Yeah.
Because we've been moving around there for the last couple, I've been here for 2 years, and we kind of throw a little something at it, see if it works.
And this nickel dime stuff, I mean, I think we should have somebody that's going to guarantee that this is going to be what we want. Somebody to figure out how much CFMs we need to take out and size it properly.
Craig, stand up and give your name and address, please.
Oh, Craig Schmidt, 16857 North Eagle Lake Road. I just retired as a pipe fitter. That's what I do with HVAC. But yeah, you want to make sure that the building is balanced. It's one whole building. You can create a negative through the whole building. You have to make sure that you have a well-balanced building, proper, whatever's going out is coming in, and it's conditioned, for heating and cooling, so you don't have having a negative, stuff like that, holding doors shut, or pulling doors open, so you want to make sure you get an HVAC person involved. I noticed this ever since I first came here, 2014.
The smell.
There's a switch on the wall that they never turned on, and it really didn't fix it anyways, but there's always an odor in the building.
So would you know an engineering firm?
That would be on my clothes.
Would you know an engineering firm to the people you worked with in the past that you could recommend or at least give us a direction to go on this?
That's way down in the cities, down.
But they could probably refer us to somebody up here, because I don't think, and would cross like sheet metal.
I would start
there. Is Carl talking to us yet?
Well, they've sold.
Carl's still running for
Yeah.
But Carl had the falling out of the
building. Right.
Well, we also have a contract with SCR. We have a contract with SCR.
But they're the ones that haven't got it right yet, because we brought it up to them numerous times.
I've never brought up the exhaust fans to SCR.
Oh, no. You haven't?
You have to get something involved with that. That switch on the wall hasn't, that nobody's ever switched. They didn't know what it was about, or a timer. It was like a 12-hour timer. Yeah, you got to get something more permanent. Either on time clock when the place is open and shut.
Well, they switched that, though. Didn't they take the timer out, and then they put in a regular switch and taped it? Nobody touch it. It's supposed to be on all the time.
Now you might not want that one, closed place.
Okay.
As far as saving money and stuff like that, the HVAC system is very important.
Yes.
And we don't even use that system anymore, because that was to take the smoke out of the building.
Yeah, that was the smoke thing.
That's
for
smokers.
That's right.
Good luck.
I was hoping you were going to say, I'll volunteer.
So this hydrant is on hold at the moment?
Yeah. So we definitely can need to explore that.
The Nardini?
Nardini, yes.
Nardini is our fire suppression vendor. They stopped in June to check everything and said that we needed to do the hydrostatic test on the auto fry. We dropped the ball on it, the quote they gave us, and so they stopped again today to do everything. So I called Tony, I called Randy, got approval for this $1,970 fix, and it's done. So I need a motion.
I make a motion that we pay Nardi fire equipment $1,970.
Second. Any other discussions?
Aye. All right.
With that, can I just say one more thing and maybe bounce it to Mark or Jesse? After he was done then, he said, it's very important that staff know if there is a fire in the auto fry, what to do. I don't know that there's ever been a training on that. I've never seen one. Because there's something you pull if it starts on fire inside. And once you pull that, you do not open the doors. And then once you think the fire has been suppressed, enough, but it's still going, there is a K-class fire extinguisher specifically for the auto fry. I did not know that either. And because he said after 5 minutes, maybe open the little thing a little bit. If you still see flames, then shoot it down. So I'm just wondering if the fire chief or someone would like to hold an all staff training or. Would you?
I wonder if we should have a plaque above it or something that describes the steps too, just to.
That would be nice. Could you just imagine if they open that door, what's going to happen?
Oh, not good.
It's not good.
But do they have a placard that describes the steps?
I've never seen one. But I do want to say too that there is, so the fire extinguisher is on this side of the wall, across from Diana's office. But the sign for it's on the opposite side of the wall. So he said that has to move, get that over, because that identifies what kind of fire extinguisher it is.
So. Okay, the kitchen, right? Yeah. You want to look in to see if there's a placard out there to give people directions on that part?
Well, even if you worked with this Charles Riley, you give it a step-by-step of what to do. They should be able to
get some
information.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anything else, Randy?
Nope, that will do it.
All right. Mayor's report, approval of election agreement with the Crowing County. Do we do this all the time?
We do this every election year. There's no election in
24. In 24, yeah.
24, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 23 we don't.
24. Right.
So we just have to approve this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion that we approve the election agreement with Crowley County.
I'll second.
Any more discussions? A vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Authorize users for Tremelo Communications. This is going to be, who can monitor the cameras? No?
No. This pertains to who can pick, order equipment and pick it up.
Right. So we have three, we have the 50 Lakes Liquor Store Bar. We have the fire department, and then we also have the city office, the clerk's office.
Shouldn't Chad be privy to that? You go pick stuff up and drop off?
Well, this is, he still could pick stuff up and drop it off. This is to, we need to provide them with a signed document by the mayor on their radar. Who has access to these accounts? Who can make changes, add charges, submit troubles, and so forth? You know, like if something's not working, who reports that? We decide on another camera. Who's going to make that decision? Who's going to make it? And my idea was that, like the bar, that should be the manager and city clerk, mayor, fire department would be fire chief. Chad is maintenance over there. Who do you think?
I would sooner think he'd be the main one. You. It's basically his building.
He that's true. That that's whole building. True. Okay.
So you guys just have to think about. So if, like, say, if we wanted to add a camera, who has the authorization to go over to Tremolo and get a camera?
Or when one of the cameras dies, and who has the authorization to tell me we need a new camera?
Yes.
I think Chad for the fire department and the building maintenance building over there.
Yep.
City clerk's office, city clerk, and mayor.
Yeah, but I would ask that everything comes through city hall too.
Yes, before it goes anywhere else. Yes.
Yes. So if you do so the bar manager, city clerk, fire.
You should do city clerk, bar manager.
Okay.
Fire department, I would be city clerk Chad.
Okay.
And clerk's office would be clerk, mayor?
Yes, perfect.
I agree.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. Do we need a motion?
I don't think so. I'll just type something up on city letterhead and have Tony.
But I disagree.
Thank you.
You're so agreeable. Review request of a donation from Emily's Care and Share. They operate out of the church in Emily, and they offer free food on Wednesdays, is it? And they're looking for a donation. I asked Ann to check, but I don't think we've ever given them a donation in the past.
That's different than a food shelf.
Yes, yes.
Because we've given them beyond the food shelf.
Yes, we don't give to them every year.
I think this is the first year I can remember that. I don't even think they got the fire department money in the past year.
We've donated turkeys, we've donated hams.
I think they got the street from my before here.
I kind of think they did. Yeah.
I don't know, you guys' feelings on that?
I'd be good to donate something there. I see they've got different amounts.
Aren't you guys' budget in? Just definitely come out of city budget.
Right.
Make a motion, we send them $250.
I'll second that.
Any more discussion? I'm ready to take a vote.
Aye.
Aye.
$250 to Care and Share. Review approved new council meeting agenda format. That's on page 107.
What are we changing?
Everything.
It's the same as the front page.
It just kind of cleans it up a little bit. I think it makes it a little more formal, and it's a little easier for, to compare the two. You know, there's not a lot of difference, but this kind of cleans it up a little bit. So it's not
bolder.
Yeah.
I like this fact that they're highlighting and putting page numbers on stuff now.
Yes, thank you for the pages, Jess.
I just thought it'd be nice too, because planning and zoning, this is their format. I kind of like things to match.
This looks fine with me.
Okay.
In fact, I like these people when they're going to read everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you to Jess for putting that together for me.
Do I need to vote on that? Or
no.
Yes, I like it.
That is it for the mayor's report. We have purchasing and personnel. Okay. Approval to cancel check number 44916. For $490 to Mark Bradley, reissue less. Did you lose your check, Mark?
Yep. I thought I lost two, but one I just never picked up. Might be the bottom.
He might not be the only one. I might be bringing more back.
I'll just make the motion that we approve the cancel of check number 44916 for $490.62 to Mark Bradley, reissue less. The $32 cancellation fee is a new amount of $460.62.
Second.
Vote?
I agree.
Cleanup day. Still looking for somebody to help with cleanup day. That is this Saturday in conjunction with Emily. And this will happen out right there as you come into town at the maintenance shop.
I did speak with Andy today. He's in charge of this as being on Emily City Council. And he really did encourage and is in need of volunteers. I'm volunteering, but there's more needed, so.
I've got something this weekend, so I can't on Saturday. But
and it doesn't have to be just council. It can be residents, staff.
Anybody.
I'll try to show up. Can we just show up and if we show
absolutely.
Up?
It's only 3 hours. It's between 9 and noon. So I just happen to be having a drive. I forgot about your quiet time.
My running time. Meeting.
Yes.
But if I.
Okay, it would be very good if we could get somebody, some of our people over there. We did not cover this, and I don't know where this would work if we want to welcome. Did we need to do that?
No, I don't know.
What is this status? Are they coming back, or?
I saw their sign today when I went home. I'll give him a call. We water broke.
They came here to dig in the water for the pavilion, and hit it up.
Okay, unfinished business. Open forum, don't leave yet, we got open forum, hello.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Third.
Aye.